For the Man Who Has Everything, written by Inisi, and read by Wilfriede 0815. Fandom, Berserk. Relationship, Griffith/Guts. Rating, teen and up audiences. Summary. The heart surgery was a success, but the patient lived. Griffith, at the height of his power. Cursed Child. You don't know left from right, but you know the best ways to travel after dark, and the ley lines that cross over this world, and the smoky consistency of a dragon's soul. The woman is earnest and true. She will lay down her life for you, make her body into a blade to cut down any danger on your path. You feel safe, protected in her presence. And there is a stirring of something else when you're with her. An emotion that is too big, too dark for your tiny white chest. Like when you spilled a jar of the fairy's ichor yesterday and they zipped around in glittery rainbow-bright panic. Or like that time you bumped into a younger boy in the alley behind the brothel and he broke a tooth and couldn't stop crying. But the woman isn't crying now, so you don't feel bad asking for her attention. As for the man, what about him? He's on his own a lot. He swings his sword at shadows. He's bigger than the biggest tree. You watch him when you think he will not notice. You watch him when you know he will. You can't stop watching. Faded oil painting of a beautiful man with a sad smile. He wishes Guts would drop the sword practice for 5 seconds so they can go on a walk together. It's such fine weather. Griffith cajoles. Let's make the most of it while we can. It will be winter before long. Guts glances at him briefly. Mid-swing, he replies, We can go on walks in winter too. He's got a point, but there's something about the image that puts Griffith off, the two of them facing each other in the snow. I want to go now, Griffith says petulantly. Uncaring whether Guts will accidentally hack off his arm, he marches up to him and takes possession of his elbow, thrilling at the way the muscles tense and bunch up. The wind stirs, and a cloud of dandelions drifts up between them, like God himself gave a violent sneeze. Guts huffs, but he complies and lowers his sword. Like a dream, he slings an arm around Griffith's right shoulder. The King on His Throne. In the discharge of my duties, I hold court, speak with the council, attend functions, and, if time allows, I sit in on the arena. To watch the immortal, for his fighting spirit and his artistry. It's like the smell of a favorite confection, but without the taste. That was a good fight. I want you in the rearguard when we attack the spirit tree in Vritanis. The city rejoices at our military triumphs. They will erect a statue of me tomorrow. 20 feet tall, like he seemed at times when we stood. Together. There. Then. Cursed child. You mimic the movements of the woman's mouth, and although the food has no taste to you, the eating itself is lots of fun. Snatching up a loaf of bread, tearing off a hunk with both your hands, lifting it up to your mouth. There was a time when you couldn't do any of these things, because you were too little, because your wrists were cut up, because your nails were pulled out, because your tongue was sliced off at the root, because you were too little. The man in black is sitting off to the side, taking apart his own meal of blueberries and hare. He compliments the cook, but you can tell he doesn't mean it. He has been wearing that armor for too long. He doesn't taste the food either. Faded oil painting of a beautiful man with a sad smile. The Hawks always throw a celebration after a victorious raid, no matter how small. Griffith knows how important it is for morale. Their hosts this time are munificent, grateful that the Band of the Hawk has chased out the Tudor garrison that had been spoliating their fields. And a grand table is set for the troops, brimming over with filigreed cutlery, choice meat, crispy dainties, and a seemingly bottomless barrel of dark beer. As the evening ripens, it drops its produce across the company, in the form of tall tales, gossip, drinking songs. Guts tosses off his stein, refills it, then joins in on Sweet Charlene, which, having spent his whole life with mercenaries, he clearly knows by heart. Beer is still flowing freely. It goes to Griffith's head. He nabs Guts's tankard and takes a draught from it, right where his friend's mouth had been. Judo smiles his lopsided smile and pats Griffith on the back, and Corcus doesn't gripe, but actually wolf whistles. Even Casca's snort seems to be in good humor. Their reactions don't make sense, yet Griffith accepts them without question. Just like he accepts that the banner on the western wall has a crest unlike his own, the shape of the wings is a little different. With a frisson of joy, he notices that Guts's ears are red, and that it's not all the alcohol's doing. The king on his throne. I don't even taste it anymore. She spills. Pink wine, cake crumbs, herself, with her eyes like the bottom of a hole, rose-draped and waiting for the coffin to be lowered into it. Which she expects, I know, in some corner of her mind. I do not resent you, Excellency. I simply have no emotional interest in you at all. Resentment, endearment, nothing. And even the castle looks insignificant now, from inside the castle. Cursed child. You ride a horned creature round and round a clearing, with the woman's assistance. You wish the man in black would get a mount of his own and ride behind you. Or alongside you. Mostly, it was alongside. But he isn't even here. And it seems like he's always looking for a reason to not be here. To go away. To get away from you. Faded oil painting of a beautiful man with a sad smile. The hilltop is all green and blue, earth and sky, as though the world just came into being and the details haven't been worked out yet. Griffith is sitting there with Guts and Casca, playing a game. The rule is that they have to make up their own fantasy creature, as far removed from any existing myth as they can make it. Where do you come up with this stuff? Asks Guts, after hearing Griffith's description of a crocodile, a giant snake with feet and a long narrow snout absolutely packed with teeth. Griffith is cheating a bit. He feels like he's heard of this creature from somewhere. Still not as crazy a concept as the end of this campaign, Casca mutters. Griffith asks her what she means by that. Equable, cool, unbaitable. Casca grabs a handful of grass and tears it out like she's scalping an enemy. I mean, we still haven't taken Daldry, she says. We've been planning that sortie for something like 5 years. Griffith doesn't so much as blink, but inside, his whole being convulses. Because Casca is right. They've been succeeding in every mission they've attempted, winning every battle they fought in, and yet... have they been standing still the whole time? Even Griffith himself, has he been standing still? At a side, Guts shrugs. Clearly he lacks any notion of Griffith's private conflict. So what? He asks. Even if we haven't got round to Daldry, Tudor has lots of other fortresses. And we've been wiping the floor with them. What else do you need? Coming from Guts's lips, it almost sounds okay. Griffith nods with a put on confidence. He leans back and sculpts some grass of his own. There is something off about the texture. The king on his throne. I sit down in the rose garden with Mule and her. The other her, who has been surly and envious and needs to be appeased. She takes her tea with 2 cubes of sugar. And she suggests a game. I'll name an animal, and you have to remove one of its properties. Then name an animal of your own. But what? Asks Mule. but you've got to keep track of all the properties that we've removed so far. She says, Mule.
What? Asks Mule.
No, that's my animal, she says.
Oh, Mule says.
Then
I'll remove hooves and propose snake?
Scales, I say, and dog. Sonia says, canines, elephant.
Trunk, Mule says, then hawk.
To which I say, heart. They stare. I repeat, heart, remove its heart. They are all staring. I say, flatworm. Cursed child. You make him carry you on his shoulder for a spell. He walks along the burbling stream, past a cluster of giant mushrooms and a pair of witches practicing flight. And in the meantime, he talks to himself. Just a few sentences here and there, but enough to show you where his mind's at. He speaks about this journey's end that is no end at all, about the woman's imperfect recovery, about the kind of serenity that makes his sword hand itch, and about his continuing obsession with him. With you. Which you can understand. After all, you... Yes, you suspect you're also here because of him. Faded oil painting of a beautiful man with a sad smile. One of the candles gutters and goes out. The library gets dimmer, then brighter again as Guts tips the healthiest-looking candle to a slim white taper. Griffith extends a distracted thanks. It suddenly strikes him that he's had the same page about fungi open in front of him for half an hour.
What's eating ya? Guts asks.
I want something from you, Griffith replies before he knows it. Will you indulge me? To which Guts replies, I've told you before, you don't need to ask. But surely he'll sing a different tune when he hears Griffith's request. Surely. Because that request is... I want to kiss you. It's a test, naturally. He'd never do it under normal circumstances. Not Guts. Not without some shot of fear. Not without some sort of fight. But now, his mouth opens yieldingly to Griffith's. His neck relaxes like a horse's after it's been untacked, and he strains forward with something like need. Afterward, Guts is bashful but pleased in a way he cannot hide.
That's it? He asks. Didn't break a sweat.
And certainly Griffith could stop here, could put an end to the experiment, but the not-right texture of the grass still niggles at his mind. He can't keep standing on the precipice of knowledge, towing at the scree. Jumping is more his style. There is one more thing, says Griffith. Breathes out slowly, like he's trying to set a paper fan to spinning. I want to take you to bed. The newly lit candle flickers. Guts glances at it, then back at Griffith. The answer's written in his eyes already. Griffith almost wishes it had been otherwise. Even knowing this isn't real, he'll take it, clutch it tightly with both hands, never let go. The King on his throne. There is nothing else. Her sheets, these walls, the latest battle won, the latest herald on the town square, conveying the latest royal decree. All of it right, all of it predetermined. There is nothing else. Cursed child. You had a dream. Under the full moon, you were a child embraced by nostalgic warmth. Faded oil painting of a beautiful man with a sad smile. But when he wakes from the dream, all that remains is a faint sense of loneliness. The king on his throne. That too soon fades away, along with a single tear, like morning dew. The end.